Now, I know today is not Consecration Sunday. Tune in for that next week. Same place, same time. But it just so happened that today's gospel story happens to be a story of Jesus witnessing the offering taking place in the temple. And out of the crowd, he notices one woman in particular, one who stood out as someone pretty special. Now, I don't know what she was thinking when she put in her last two coins, nor do I know how she felt, and we may never know. But I do know from my own experience what it's like to make an offering to God. And I've often heard of others and what that means to them. It's a good feeling. Reverend Dr. Scott Weimer shared a story about a Kenyan woman who joined their church. Her name was Lydia. He explains, "She told me that she loved our congregation, but she really missed certain aspects of her home church, especially parts of the worship service. I asked her what she missed the most, and she told me something I've never forgotten. She said, 'I miss the offering.' In Kenya, we would sometimes dance down the aisles during the offering. We didn't have much to give, but what we did have, we gave with much joy. What a privilege to give back to God," she said. Now, we can only imagine what the widow from the story from the Gospel of Mark must have felt, but I'm guessing it felt good. And I don't think that that's how people have traditionally looked at this passage from Scripture, this story of the widow's mite. Instead, I think many people have looked at her example as an extremely painful sacrifice, a sacrifice of giving up more than we can give or more than we can imagine we are capable of giving. Yet, if we look at it this way, all of a sudden, we feel inadequate. We feel defeated, and we're not able to live up to Jesus' expectations of us, leaving us feeling far from great about our offering. It's sort of this struggle going on in our hearts. We think we know what we should be doing, at least if we're comparing ourselves to the widow. Yet we don't live up to it, and therefore we feel guilty. But I don't think that's what Jesus wants us to take away from this lesson. Instead, I believe Jesus is trying to explain the difference between the values of society and the values of the kingdom of God. Because you see, those things that were valued in society in that day and age were the scribes, who thought of themselves highly and pranced around in their long robes, and they were sure that they had everything figured out. He says, beware of them. He says, I know society honors them with special seats and places of honor, but in the kingdom of God, other things are of much more value. Other things, such as humbly loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what the kingdom of God is all about, the greatest commandment. And that's exactly what the widow was doing. She was loving the Lord with all of her heart, with all of her soul, and with all of her mind. She was loving her neighbor as herself. She was giving her whole self to God. It really seems simple, but then there is this thing called money and power and fame and just simple busyness and distraction, which have been and will continue to be temptations that try to pull us away from the values of the kingdom of God. But as we all know, these things, they might bring temporary satisfaction, but they do not provide the lasting peace and joy that come from seeking out to live the greatest commandment. Marshall Steele explains how this played out in his life. He was the pastor of Highlands Park United Methodist Church in Dallas for years, and in talking to a group of people at breakfast one morning, he said, "You know, I've spent a lot of money over the years, paying the bills, buying clothes, going out to eat, and for the most part, I don't have anything to show for it. The shirts and pants and suits I've bought have long since worn out, and they've been discarded. We've traded cars a dozen times or more. But the money I've given here and there to further the church's mission, to help feed someone who's hungry, for example, or build a modest home for someone in need of shelter, or send a deserving youngster to college. These are the gifts that continually put a smile on my face and bring me some measure of satisfaction." What a gift it is to give to God and our neighbor. What a joy. What a blessing. And whatever it is that we have to give, God will bless it. Just like God blessed those coins of the widow, God will bless whatever you can give. Whether it's giving of ourselves in the form of our time and just showing up for things and spending our time living out the greatest commandment. Or if it's in the form of sharing our talents and considering what gifts has God given to me to share with others and then searching for unique ways to do that. Or if it's in the form of sharing our money and taking a little time each week or month to pray or talk about it with our family, about what ministries and what causes are we passionate about and how much can we share with them. That's what Mary did. She was a hairdresser and a member of a little church back in the 1970s. She was asked to be a trustee and she accepted. It was a good choice. Mary was sharp as a tack when it came to balancing a budget and making good business decisions. As it happened, there was a vacant lot across the street from the church that the trustees thought the church ought to buy, if nothing else, to keep someone else from buying it and putting in a junkyard or something. The asking price was $8,000, which is a tidy sum in those days for a small church like theirs. It came up at the trustees' meeting, and of course the question was, how are we going to pay for it? They decided to ask the members of the congregation to make pledges over and beyond their normal giving over a 3-year period. To get it started, they would make their pledges up front. One of the men passed out little slips of paper, and another collected them in his hat. Then he proceeded to tally them. There were 9 trustees in all, and all but one pledged $100 a year. Mary's pledge was different. It didn't contain a dollar amount. Instead, it read, "One haircut per week." Well, the trustee counting up the pledges wanted to get a firm bottom line. So he asked her, "What do haircuts go for these days, Mary?" She said, $5. He made a quick mental calculation and wrote down 260. The men looked at each other, but didn't say a word. Her pledge was more than 2.5 times theirs. They went on with the pledge campaign, bought the property, and paid off the note in just over a year. That's what Mary could give, because that is the person God created her to be. And it turned out to be more than enough. God created us all differently, but one thing I believe is the same, and that is that we all receive the lasting peace and joy in giving to God and our neighbor. And each week here at Living Water, we get to experience that joy over and over again. Amen.